take at least an hour. Okay. So it's 6 p.m. on February 22nd, 2016. We'll call the Plan Commission meeting to order for the Village of Alloway. First, we'll start with a roll call. Kowalczyk Adrians?
Here.
Hanson?
Here.
Dart?
Here.
Rapp?
Here.
Dretzloff?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here.
And Kornowski is here. Okay. Moving on to number two, modify or adopt the existing agenda. Were there any concerns or questions about the existing agenda?
I move to adopt with the flexibility of repositioning any of the action items, depending on whether the people we're expecting to attend are here or not.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted with Roger's recommendations. Moving on to number three, minutes from January 25th, 2016. If there are any changes, please present them.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Minutes carry. Okay, moving on to number four. Any announcements from the plan commissioners or Trevor or Brett?
Only that as you can tell, the Mayflower development has been postponed at the moment. They're still working on their plans, so hope to see those soon.
Can we expect to see them for the next meeting, or is it going to be pushed out further than that? Or
it looks like, yeah, for the next meeting.
So, Trevor, in other words, you had asked if it was if March 8th was okay.
Right.
Is that not going to be viable?
The 7th, actually.
The 7th?
I don't know. I know there was a confusion there. I sent out a Tuesday date and said Monday.
Yeah.
But it was Monday.
It was Monday the 7th, yeah.
Monday the 7th, yes.
So is that a... Should we keep that on our calendars as a...
I talked to possible? Chris today from Mayflower. He said that would work for them.
Okay.
If you guys are open to do that.
Okay, yeah, we can discuss that. Any other announcements?
Just that the Brown County Planning Department has issued a public access website for making comments on the update to the Brown County Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan.
Just linked off their homepage?
I'm sorry?
Just linked off their homepage?
Right. I think if we get, at least for the commission, if we get email from the village, one of those, an announcement was made in the past day or two.
It has been added to our website.
Oh, it has. Okay.
Good. Anything else? Okay, we'll move on to number five, public appearances. Is there anybody from the public that would like to address the commission? Or
Jim Over, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm co-chairman of the Bike Bed Committee. I'm in charge of pedestrian support. I just wanted to let you know that we are looking at existing public right-of-ways versus easements, but we're looking at existing public right-of-ways to connect different neighborhoods with existing parks, and with the new pedestrian refuge island that's going to be in front of the Mayflower project. So I just wanted to ask you to take a close look at the undeveloped land on the west side of Riverside Drive. It's about 35 acres between the underutilized state park and a couple vacant parcels that are currently for sale. So if we can find a way to come up with a plan for what that section of the village would look like, that's its own, take a look at it on a ward-by-ward basis, but if you take a look at what that vacant land should look like 5 years from now, that would be very helpful to the Bike Ped Committee, because the state withdrew any bike lanes on Riverside Drive, and we have a lot of congestion on the Fox River Trail, so we do need some planning help on what we can do to accommodate bicyclists and pedestrians and the new development that will be going on near the Sky Building in the near future. Thanks.
Trevor, I got a quick question from, and maybe for Roger too. And with the Bike Ped Committee kind of meeting, and they're kind of in full swing, come up with different ideas and things like that, is there anything that the Bike Ped Committee is going to put together to bring to the Plan Commission at a future date, or with some of these recommendations, just kind of a concise areas to look at or areas of concern or any kind of report?
Well, I'm not sure exactly how Trevor is working through this, but the idea is that we would put together recommendations and maps for what types of facilities to employ in the village.
Okay.
So a short, concise report with specific suggestions, and what I'm asking our committee to do is have three specific bicycle suggestions, three specific pedestrian suggestions that we can get done in the next 5 years, and that should be enough.
Okay.
So something very specific, very concise, pinpointed to where the greatest need is at the lowest cost.
Sure. And my only question or concern, and not really a concern, but is that the timing of development doesn't always occur in the same timeline as the timing of a report. So if there's things that are coming out of the committee, such as these specific types of recommendations, you know, maybe there's something that could be developed after these committee meetings to kind of give us an idea of what specifically everybody's looking at, so when petitioners come in, we have that information. So however you want to administer that.
So it's like a progress report?
What you guys are looking at, or what's kind of the big issue at that time? Yeah, I think that would be beneficial to see that.
Okay. Brainstorm at the next meeting?
Yep. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. Okay, thank you. If there's no other public appearances, we can move on to item number 6. I believe everybody's in attendance for item number 6.
Yes.
Okay. Action regarding UWGB community sign designs.
All right, so just a little background on this again. Over the past year or so, we've been kind of talking about ways to distinguish Alloway from the rest of the Green Bay area. Corridor study recommends gateway signs, wayfinding signs, banners, that type of thing, to let people know when they have entered or left Alloway. At the same time, Parks Department has budgeted for new park signs phased in over 10 years or so. As Chris and I thought that by doing both projects, we should maintain a consistent theme within the village. so that we enlisted the help of UWGB design class to kind of pitch a few ideas at us. I believe there's three groups. They each have a few different kind of ideas. And tonight, I think they're looking for some directions, some feedback, what you think Alway most fits Alway. Does that have to be one group? Or does that be, you know, could be pieces of, three different groups? But some direction, and then the same ideas we presented to the Parks Committee by Chris, Parks Director, and then Lee and April, the class will present to the voting board their final kind of designs. We have Dan Rotary, the professor, and then Emily and Allie representing their class here today.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. It's been a pleasure working with the Village of Alloway, especially Chris and Trevor. Not news to you guys, I'm sure, but certainly it's been a lot of fun. The Environmental Design Studio at the university is a four-semester studio. Roger, I'm sure you can appreciate that's almost unheard of, that you can have a single program spread out over 2 years where you've got the consistency of the lead as well as the opportunity to build on what was done previously with good knowledge of what that was. First semester, we deal with objects. They did actually signs as the first project that they do in the fall. It's followed up by a piece of furniture, and then we expand that to a team project and working with a park and creating some type of appurtenance within the park. The fall also features the third semester. It's a stacked course, so I have both juniors and seniors in that particular program. And the third semester, seniors would be addressing the context. And so the broader park is something to think of planning, seeing how it fits into the whole of the community and coordinating the team. The spring gets us the second and fourth semesters, so the juniors in the second semester are dealing with space, think architecture, and the fourth semester seniors would be dealing with their own capstone project, something of their choice. We have two seniors this year in the fourth semester. Emily's with us right now. She has a client who has a 20-unit apartment building he's putting together in an existing historic hotel. The hotel was built in the 1870s in Green Bay, and she's providing four decor options within four of these very small units, and that will give the client a chance to show his potential tenants how well and how easy it is to utilize the small space. Carolyn, the other senior, is working with Stillmate Brewing Company. She's doing some theming for the business throughout, as well as providing an expansion of their tap room and a small beer garden outside, and there's some other things in the works there. So it's been a lot of fun. This particular project came to us, and so we have three teams, as Trevor stated, and we're working through a couple of key things. First, each team is to develop four similar pieces. The entrance to the village, the wayfinding sign, and then that's expanded then to a park sign, and then finally, perhaps in the future, but a kiosk, taking it a completely different direction, but exploring that aspect of the design to maintain the consistency. And so with that, I am presenting for the other two teams today. Emily and Allie will be the end of this, so they'll correct me afterwards, I'm sure, for the places I've tripped up, and keep me honest for the other teams. But right now, I'll take you through a brief introduction as to how we set ourselves for Alloway, and then through two of the teams before we turn it over to Emily and Allison. And one of these devices must work here.
That works.
To Trevor?
Yeah. One of the things we do in our studio is we start off with what's called a design brief. Or in my day, it was called a program. But design brief seems to be a little more descriptive. It's a chart or a list of what's trying to be expected. And so we started off first, we need to find a solution. We want this to be unique to Alloway. And there's some different things that we already recognize could be developed as parts of the signage package. And then each team was developing their own, as it were. We listed your parts, talked about those amongst ourselves, had a chance to look at some pictures and things like that, somewhat related to all of that. And though the parks person said there were 11 parks, we found 12, and we know that Optimus Kayaker's Point is in flux. And the only reason I know of that is I'm designing a home for one of your future residents on River Lane, and it came up during that discussion. There's other locations that we're considering, so the Fox River Trail and the East River Trail, your community buildings. Riverside Drive has been discussed, certainly Webster's in that, and the entrances on Riverside and Webster. Alloway Avenue is a point of entry. Don't want to rule out 172. Certainly that's a big part of the community with its location and your location with respect to it. We examined some of the current items you have, your welcoming sign, the water tower. And then we pushed past that, looked at the logo, but pushed past that to other signs, not your responsibility, but other aspects of your community with Heritage Hill right here. So from there, the teams each started tackling this. Now they've had, what have you had? 2 weeks basically to work on it? Three studios. So they got the information from Chris and then later presented some ideas to Trevor and Chris. That provided some feedback. And so tonight we're looking for, as Trevor said, feedback from you, any direction you want to provide. And as I mentioned, or as Trevor mentioned, that can be in the form of saying, gee, you know what, we really like this particular direction, let's just run with that. That's what we want the village board to see. To the other extreme, we like all three. We're not going to make that choice. We're going to let the village board weigh in on this. And then your feedback would help direct each of the teams to what they should be looking at and focusing on for that meeting in April. If we would choose the latter, it's very simple for me. Each team will continue to pursue this and provide time to it, and they will all be able to be present at that meeting as we happen to meet on Tuesday nights. The reason the other students aren't here is not their lack of interest. I'm not allowed to require students to do certain things, and I know that sounds harsh. To do certain things outside the classroom unless it's stated in the course description that they sign up for. And I find that perfectly fair. Because we found out about this after the semester had started, I was not able to work that in. So believe it or not, these students are either working tonight jobs so they can pay for that education, or they're going to a class right now so they can graduate earlier so they don't have to pay quite so much for the education. These two are so efficient that they're able to balance all of that and still be here tonight. So, but that's seniors, you know, they get it figured out by the time they get to that point. So that kind of feedback would be good. If, on the other hand, you select one of the three, which is certainly fine too, then that team will lead the process and all members of the studio will participate. We have 9 people in the studio working on this, the 2 fourth semester students, and then 7 second semester students. Our first group, Alexandra, is an exchange student from Mexico. Kennedy and Pauline are 2 of our juniors at UWGB. They are looking, they push the program and just, or the design brief a little bit further, saying they want to render a European hamlet aspects, but further modernized, develop, historically progressive. They incorporated Ledgestone in their work. They kept the logo in the forefront. And what you're going to see from them is perhaps the progressive part of Alloway. So after we get past this program statement or the brief, we start looking at inspiration and things that will influence what we do. And I'm betting there's a light on here.
That small light on the top right.
Is this one? Oh, no, that's the one I tried. Oh, no, I didn't try that one. Okay. So we start to look for some inspiration. So this was a sign that they came across, and I think the stone was, yeah, you know, Alloway's thinking stone. This is very modern, but you'll see an element of this that comes up later in one of the designs they started pushing. Then they got to the other side and they said, you know, now this maybe is a little more traditional. And what is it that we can do between these two? They also kept coming back to the sun. And the logo that you have with this yellow piece at the top representing the sun. Once we get through the inspiration, there's a series of sketches or modeling, whatever seems appropriate that we go through. So you start to see the ladies start going through a number of different items, starting with the banner. You'll see here your hills and land and river and sun sideways on that. You'll see your logo split up. You'll see a different impression here. And they continue to progress through this until they start getting some stone on either side. That led them to sort of where they ended up heading. And this is where it came to Trevor and Chris. So that last sketch ended up developing into here, and they have a modeling program that they can start pulling this up into some dimension to give a little better idea here for the welcome sign. They expanded beyond that, and Chris and Trevor had a chance to weigh into it, and they started trying to pull that logo even more into the signage and work that through the systems that they had been working with. And then challenged by Trevor and Chris to see what they can do to kind of pull it in a little bit, and by myself in their last studio, which would have been, Okay, so this is where they were Thursday night. To where now they started to get this modeled, and this is kind of where they're headed with this. Here, the sketch with the ledge stone down below, the logo actually abstracted, but nestling onto the logo. So the stone, the rock of Alloway, supporting the progressive direction of Alloway. And then they came back to examine other signs. That was the entry sign. The public signs here, just for sake of discussion, again, putting it on its edge, some sketches there you can see. And then continue to refine that with the new direction that they started to suggest, where they perhaps the public signs start working in a motif more similar to the main entrance sign. And then what they pulled out of all of that were these items to say, feedback, what do you think? And what we'll do is we'll go through these and then we can jump back and forth to take the feedback. I think that makes sense, or should we feedback each individual one? Go all once, and then it might allow better comparisons than that too. And they started working with the kiosk, and this is a little light to see, but this is literally some folded plates, and as they developed it, it started to become a little more clear. Here's a different graphic overlay. But now you can start to see it modeled out here, with here just paper, and eventually they pulled it into some three-dimensional. You can start to imagine this can be one panel, it can be three panels, it can start to tell a story, it may simply be showing direction to different things, it might highlight several aspects of the trail. And then the banners. Here, having a chance to mirror the banner around the post potentially. And you start to see some maybe things you don't expect. They quickly pointed out, almost looks like we've got a blossom here forming on the post, on the stem. And push that through with other ideas. And then to the more current, where they've kind of settled in on a banner that maybe takes your logo and extracts it vertically and then allows message or image or something beyond that sign. So the final stuff that they came up with summarized here, this would be the slide we come back to for discussion. The kiosks, the building signs, the entry sign, and the banners. Group two has the other fourth semester senior, Carolyn. She's also the teaching assistant in the class. She's put together a large majority of what you're seeing now. She prepares things for me. She's actually conducted a couple of exercises, and she's saved me a couple of times on some things that were going on that I wasn't aware of in terms of scheduling. Emily and Nicole are two other juniors that are in their second semester. Like others, the design brief, they want to focus it, so they want to focus on the entry, wayfinding, kiosk, banners, and water tower. And they want ideas that mix the modern and the old together, including the use of ledge stone and ironwork. If we were looking at Alloway as being sort of historically progressive, where the first group was your progressive piece of that arm, this might be the historical leg of that idea. So their inspiration starts with some look at some water towers, some wayfinding signage, as well as some more traditional or historic-looking standards for other signage, as well as the entry sign with the stone on either side. Their work, again, included the logo. They've done some things to break up the stone and do things to try to incorporate the logo and the aspects of the logo. Here, taking the colors out of the ironwork and getting the sun, the grass, or the green and the water together with the ledge stone supporting it. They went into the wayfinding as well. Though these may appear to be sort of a ground-mounted device, these could be hung as well. And you see the simple words and directions in which you're going and different ways they've handled it. The kiosk would follow the same sort of design standard. You're seeing a much more strict interpretation of the design palette with the second team in really reinforcing the initial welcome sign. The banners, they show an aspect here of using the logo to bracket this and so forth. The team that's yet to present, Emily and Allison, and their third member is Lacey, they developed the same idea and have been quite successful at using that logo as a bracket item for hanging the information from. And you'll see a little bit of that in their presentation. And then they came back to thinking about the water tower. And we'll see. I asked for some stick pins because I have stuff at the studio and at my office. I actually ended up finishing this at the office, and the stick pins are at the studio. So you guys have kindly found that. I'm hoping I can be quick enough that we can show you this before we leave while the other two are going through their thing. So I'm going to turn it over to Allison and Emily to take care of the last piece of this, and then I'll be back up.
I'm Emily, as Dan said. I'm Allison. Okay, so some of our focus points that we wanted to emphasize was the creation of a common theme. We wanted to do this by using ledge stone within multiple signs and have some continuity there. And then we also wanted the sign shape to have continuity. We wanted to focus on wayfinding and park identification signs specifically. And we wanted to make sure that we reflected the people of Alloway in our designs. When we began to look at the ledge stone, we wanted to see how it was used historically throughout Alloway to kind of give it a little bit more meaning and maintain that historically progressive theme. So these are some images that we found of buildings historically. And then we also looked at current buildings that have brick or stone as well, just to get the different design aspects. The Alloway Community Center, and then the one on the right is in one of the parks. For park entrances and mile markers, we wanted to have the ledge stone on the bottom and then maintain that shape on the left. And we wanted to also have the ledge stone on the mile markers to have continuity there. On the right, on the right, those could be either cut out symbols for each mile marker to differentiate for somebody running where they are. And then on the left, above Green Isle Park, we were thinking about having a different symbol or icon potentially for each park to also differentiate. So the signs could be the same, and then the symbol would just change. We began to look at the parks and see like which ones had different unique factors about them. As you can see, the Kayaker's Point would have the kayak launch. Some only have like a disc golf course. One of them is only a walking trail. Just unique factors that would make sense to set them apart. And then we began to sketch different ideas and thumbnails for those ideas. And then refine those sketches a little bit more. And then this is the point we're at right now. Not quite sure how much color to put into each of them yet. So they're still in process, but different features of each part.
So we also work to tie them together with the sign shape, and so we have the village entrance and the building entrance are very similar to unify Alloway, and then the park sign has the ledge stone underneath, but it would be the same shape as well, and the same thing with the wayfinding sign.
We'd be interested in your feedback, and I don't know how you guys can actually answer questions and respond to some of the things that are out there and they do. But first, is there a place somebody wants to go back to start the discussion? If not, I'll go back to the first group that we showed. And put the summary slide that they have. And I didn't say, so if you're looking to find the hamlet of Alloway, I believe this team here perhaps has kind of worked their way into that.
I thought it was a neat idea to use the, the park's core competency in the design. As far as having a running path on one of the park identifiers, and maybe tennis or what have you, or kayak launch, or that was pretty clever. That's really neat. It would be a neat feature on the sign.
Thank you. This is the first group, and as mentioned, this is one I suggest maybe the progressive Alloway, and as much as you see Village of Alloway on the bottom right, that's on a stone background. The time didn't allow them to get to that point of it. So that would have been a stone, ledge stone beginning point for that.
So what are the letters are like metal, cut out metal, or?
Those are things that would be decided as we continue. We're very early, but yes, these are letters that are metal and they stand off of the stone. They're backlit then, so that the stone will create a very light area, and at night it will read, the letters will read dark. During the day, you'd read it in a normal way, and whether they be the blue that you see here or some other color, that would have to be decided. As you get into even the community sign, assuming that this is on a building or out front, that might be a similar sort of thing where these might be letters that are punched out.
Dan, just real quick, as part of the class, do they look at potential locations?
Yes, that's the next step, is that we would do that. Carolyn, who I mentioned earlier, has already gone out to take pictures of the six entry points. So what the village board will see, you're seeing this in process. This is just a step. You're probably looking at about the one-third point as to what the development will actually be by the end. Now, there won't be much more stuff there, but more of the questions will be answered by the time we get to the end. And so Carolyn, who I'd already mentioned, she's got the pictures going. So then Emily and Allison will grab a picture of Webster, perhaps, and their entry sign will be superimposed into that. We'd suggest, depending on the modeling of that, I mean, some of these may be even hard to discern, like Where is that? I didn't see that. I drove by there today, and I didn't see it there. Well, that's true, but there's a lot of things we can do now with Photoshop to really make things confusing. Did Forrest Gump stand behind President Kennedy? Other comments on the more modern or progressive look? Is this even worth continuing to consider? Is this like, Alloway would like to keep things rooted a little more with some of the things we see in a more traditional sense? Or, no, you know what, let's push the village forward a little bit and keep this in the mix.
I think I'd keep it in the mix. I like it. I like all of them.
Well, that doesn't help us at all.
I know. There's certain elements I like.
Very good. That's what we want to hear.
Yeah. And some of them I like when the banner and how you made the part of the logo for hanging banners. I think that's really neat. But I also like the top of this one, the way it uses the logo.
And you're talking specifically about the banner in the upper right-hand corner?
No, banner that these young ladies had in theirs.
The top of this one is the bottom right, the Village of Alloway sign.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Do you take questions from the audience? I see your audience is actively interested in participating.
Just one quick thing before we move on. So there's a relatively new wayfinding sign out here in front of the Village Hall. Okay. That's... And I wasn't here when the site design was developed, but what thought process went into that? Because that's pretty heavy ledge stone or a ledge stone type look.
Well, we weren't involved, so you'd have to ask.
But that's the
not even Brad knows.
That's an extremely expensive monument sign. That kind of is that the direction that the village wants to go, or do you want to get away from that?
I don't even know what it looks like. So.
And then the sign you're talking about is probably the building sign.
Yeah, right out here.
And we will split hairs on terminology. So when you said wayfinding, we're imagining a placard with 5 or 6 names on it.
No, you're right. I'm
street.
Wrong.
No, I'm just helping so that we can talk all the same. And the building sign is one that's planted here, and that one would be one that,
Because I see community center.
That's
up
what
there,
it would
so
be.
That's kind of why
you're exactly right.
Thinking to myself, okay, what was the rationale behind this one, or what was the idea? Was that supposed to set the tone or not?
It wasn't to set the tone for us,
per se.
That's a coincidence. Sure. It's a description of what we believe Alloway might be interested in. So evidently it's coming around again. Whoever was influenced by that sign maybe felt Alloway found ledge stone to be an important element of their history.
This is not really a germane question, but where did the concept of a European hamlet come up with? Because nothing is further from my perception of what Alloway is.
I think it's on your website. I think they dug it out.
It came up in a lot of
the visioning sessions.
Right. Well, I remember Steve talking about that, but I think we got a lot of work to do before we get there.
The signs will help. Start us in that direction.
We'll help us find our way.
With that said, the design on the bottom, I said, I like this one. I like the one, the Village of Alloway one, but I'm not as fond of the community center with the sideways look to it. It's that logo cutout on the top that appeals to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think, the one with the logo turned to the side isn't as obvious of a connection to the logo.
Right.
Although it's still a nice design, it's maybe a little too subtle to make that connection.
I think people would wonder what that is on the side of the sign and not be able to connect it. And as would be true with any of these that are using our logo, the colors and the script in our logo. Mm-hmm. And a lot of residents don't see that because they don't get public notices from the village, so they'd be wondering,
But as you continue to use the logo, and then you end up with a signage that starts to emphasize certain things like blue, green, and yellow. You're going to educate your residents to the secret handshake, and then they can start inoculating others as they let them into the community, and they can be special too.
And those colors could even be more vivid. I think in the group too, they were brighter or more distinct than the. The and green and the yellow or the blue. And
could we take a look at the group two?
Yeah, let's move to that then.
This might look different if it were in those colors.
It would, and we keep apologizing too always for the color renditions that occur in slides and the lighting conditions that are around. But here, obviously, this group was able to get past it. Now let's pick out. They don't have a summary slide, so this would be a good one to start with. I think this group in the end had settled on what you see basically at the lower right, that they started up in the upper left, well, probably right center first, and then they moved in and colored it. They tried something else, and then when they got to the lower right, that might be it, although it looks like the largest logo, the bottom left, is the most fully developed with the Village of Alloway in it.
I think the nicest thing about this is the random stacked stone.
Mm-hmm.
And the more natural look to it. It has, at least, we've got the Niagara.
The Niagara escarpment.
Escarpment running right through the middle of the village, so it gives a sense of that, especially when you get down towards Ledgeview, and you've got the cliffs.
Which one are you talking about?
Well, either one, but I like the one that has the two drops. The one on the lower left is really the one I like, as far as the shape of the stone and the way it's stacked. So.
I'm going to go back to the first group, though, and I'd say I am a fan of the look where you have the letters popping out and you can backlight that. I think that just looks very classy. Although I agree with you on the stacked stone and the interest that that had, I think I would probably prefer where the letters pop out and we can have that unique lighting effect.
You do have to be careful with backlit letters. They can be backlit and conceptually work really well in your mind, and they not read at all. And it's a matter of letter size to amount of light value, and then the contrast ratio that's being created by the light itself. Somebody just spent a lot of money on a backlit sign. I want to say it might be a sign at a church in Howard. You cannot read it at night because the light is too bright and the letters are too small. There's not enough bold contrast separating them. That's your sign person that will get that right.
Dad, don't do that.
That's the sign person that will have to get that right. But just to caution you to be aware of that as you're challenging them to be sure that they do it right. And then you can always do the I told you so, and it's a lot easier when you do it over them. Other comments here?
I would prefer the right side.
Bottom right?
Just seems like a smoother look to me. The other seems a little busy to look at.
How do you plan on attaching and keeping in place the spirally, whatever you call that, that's resting on top of it?
Yeah, what's the story behind that?
Yeah.
The team had identified it as a wrought iron type element, and though it's maybe dancing a little bit here, it's a little artistic here, it would be secured to the top of the sign. So it shouldn't be an issue, and I don't think it'll disappear like the Indian's feather on the courthouse statue.
It's kind of doubled up because you got that kind of design over the alleyway and then you got the design on the top of the statue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if that's... It might be... we kind of put it all over the place, but maybe a little once on the sign would be good.
Yeah, kind of like the top left has it.
Once.
Although that's part of the
spelling. We won't be too hard on them, but that was one of the early designs. They did find the spelling for alloy eventually. They hate to throw the work out, though. Yeah, it's a nice little sketch.
How about if there was more green?
More green?
More green.
In the two on the bottom you're looking at, there's just not much green. Good point.
We do have a lot of green.
Yeah.
Can we move through these slides to... There was a banner I recall seeing.
Here's their banner.
Nope. This isn't the one I was thinking.
I think this is the center one, I think, is the banner. Yeah, the center one is the banner they're at right now.
There was one where maybe was in the first group, I'm not sure. But it was a little more detailed.
Does it wrought iron on
the
top?
Had a kind of an open portion near the top.
Okay. That's yours.
Yeah, I think it's
yours. Let's go to this scheme here. This is scheme number one. You see up, okay, you see there at the top the wayfinding?
Yeah.
There the logo was separated out. That's not the one? No? Okay. Is there something past this?
Nope, that's it.
Well, it must be in group one. Or the first group, group three. I'm going to have to back up on these because I'm thinking you're thinking of a horizontal interpretation.
I should go up a little.
No. I wonder if it...
Maybe it was the one on the left here.
Okay.
But...
Sorry.
I like the idea of it being asymmetrical.
Okay.
And... it seems like it could be filled out with maybe some clear plastic and still be hung in a fairly normal way.
Okay. Let's move down then to group one and take a look at some stairs again. If we can, I think we got 2 minutes. Some of their starting points that you've seen.
Well, this is the park sign and the mile markers as far as the models right now.
Mm-hmm. And I think they went through to mention that the medallion there in the middle would be unique to each park and would provide an opportunity for identification. It might provide other opportunities too. If you decide to have a program where the kids go to each park, that might be the pin that they get that goes in the booklet and so on, that type of thing.
I agree with the chairperson that the that signifier for each park is really a nice idea.
The mile markers was something that Chris and I didn't even bring up. It was something that we brought up on our own. We thought it was a really creative idea because even, you know, you have the multi-jurisdictional trails. You're going on these trails and then you really, even on the trails, you know you're an outlet.
Are there mile markers right now?
Yes.
They're 10th of mile markers on the Fox River Trail. Okay. I don't think we have them on the East River Trail.
They're
on
both.
They are on both.
We're thinking maybe an idea to save costs probably every mile or so.
Sure.
But, you know, just something unique or different.
And even though that saves cost, I think it may be a better design strategy to go every mile. It makes them more unique and therefore more noticeable. If they start occurring every tenth of a mile, it's just not noticed.
It's like a fence.
Yeah. So, just about, huh? So, you know, there's actually good design sense in the economy of that.
Well, you could replace just the mile markers with something significant and more colorful, and then maybe have a medallion on the other ones.
Outstanding idea, Roger, yes. Something a little more quiet and subtle. That way, for those who are keeping track, I am at 1.3 miles.
I think something we have to, and I know that this group isn't really thinking about those things, but really if you put that iron stuff at the top and you hang a banner, every piece you make is going to get really costly. And the same with, you know, all the stones down the trail. I mean, is it really realistic to look at designs that are going to be so costly to reproduce?
I think, Trevor can answer this, but he's instructed us to move in a direction that provides ideas, but that the sign maker is the one who's going to come back and show how to make something more economical. So where you may see the ironwork at the top holding it up, it may end up being a simple plate that's stamped with the negative of that, which is just light or air that you're seeing. Or it's some sort of a transparent device that has it screened on it in some way. So the sign maker is the one then that will be able to lift these to the point of them being actually practical from the standpoint of construction, lighting, and cost.
Okay.
And I don't know, Trevor, that's what I remember you talking about.
Right.
So
exactly.
Well, there's also the issue of if you're going to have a, like the one on the left is really, I mean, that doesn't have to be very big. So, mm-hmm. But if we're going to have village entrance signs, it's going to be really hard to put one on Riverside Drive unless you develop an island in the middle of the roadway. Mm-hmm. It's the one that can be seen, you know, and noticed. So it might be a little easier on Webster in some cases. But finding good positions for the signs that can provide identity is also an issue. I'm a little surprised that some sort of gateway arch or overhanging sign wasn't addressed, mainly because of the street conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And the difficulty in putting a monument sign as an entrance marker. So.
Were the unique park emblems or symbols, were they in color? Was there a slide with color, or you just hadn't gotten to putting color in them? Would you suggest that you do it in color, or doesn't it matter?
Started trying to do them in color, and I was picking the colors out of your logo on Illustrator and just moving with the tints of them, and it's looking okay so far. It just wasn't far enough that it's in the presentation yet.
When we look at these, what size do we envision these little round?
It depends how big we make the sign, I guess.
Yeah.
We've talked about things being readable by car and by foot, so it wouldn't be unheard of to make them 16 inches in diameter or so. That's bigger than your clock here. But that type of sign, so that as you're approaching the park, you can see it, but then as you get closer, you can start to appreciate the detail of it. As,
I mean,
as
it couldn't be like this because you're never going to see it.
Mm-hmm. No, and there wouldn't be too many colors either. It would just probably be like picking out some of the blues and the greens from the logo.
Are these the same ones that would be on the mile markers?
No, the mile markers would be more just like, I did like a leaf for just like a natural representation.
And you could handle the mile markers differently. You might provide a location for a tile in the mile marker, and then you might have some sort of a competition between the school age kids or something like that to provide a theme this year. They get laid out on all the mile markers for the 20 most noted projects in each category. They get taken off the next year, and a new group goes in. Well, now you've created another village attraction that maybe people have to catch, and maybe they don't get to the village every year, but they see that. They think, yeah, or my nephew's got something down there. Have you gone to see it? Things that create buzz about your community. And so there's different ways that they can be used and get people to put your community in their forethought.
So since this is kind of a branding exercise in a way, in addition to a design concept,
it's to promote Alloway,
right?
But we wouldn't take responsible for any sort of branding.
I'm not saying that, okay. But it's a function of what we want to see the village look like consistently.
Yeah, from your mindset, you have to look at it that way.
Through the next.
What do you want people to know as they drive from De Pere to Green Bay?
So far what I've heard is the emblems, everybody seems to really think that's a good idea, I think, right? That everybody seems on page with that. More green in a couple of the designs. I think the ledgestone look is really neat, whether it's, you know, the kind of the lower left or the right left, they're kind of the same kind of ledgy ledgestone. So that's good. Was there anything else, I guess, specifically for the benefit of the team that they can take back with them before they go in front of the village board?
Well, I think tending away from a symmetrical looking signs to more the asymmetrical looking would reflect the character of the community a little more. So.
Okay. And then,
so we don't have many traditional houses here.
Right.
So mostly mid-century moderns.
The wrought iron on the top of the sign probably won't work. We're thinking the squid.
It,
the
the squiggly lines.
I think it has potential. But I wouldn't double it up. We were saying don't double it up with also then having it the squiggle in the logo on the side.
I certainly like the way that top wayfinding sign looks like that. Just how reasonable is that to do?
Very quickly, if that bracket were not used and the sign were just hung off of the pole with nothing above it, so it's hung on the left and right, it's not hanging down, it would look the same just eliminating that. Now if you look down to the village entrance sign where the logo appears, where the sign bumps up a little bit, you can imagine that same bump up could appear in that wayfinding sign up above. So it can be captured in a way that's more economical while still almost doing the same thing, but now you're letting the sign itself hold itself up. It's not bracketed with the special arm. Wes, what was the second point? You talked about the emblems, and then you had Ledgestone. What was between?
Green.
Green.
Oh, yeah.
About more green.
I was writing in green. I probably just thought I'd already covered it. Very good. I guess if there aren't any other comments, if you do think of things, certainly get them to either Chris or Trevor. They'll forward them to the design studio. I'm not hearing any particular desire to necessarily weed these out right now, so we will progress with three teams and keep you alert to what it was. Apologize, we weren't able to pull this all together. We were hoping to get something in your hands today. Thank you for your attention here tonight. And I am not going to leave without finishing this little water tower, so I'll ask to interject in about 15 minutes. And
I was just going to bring that up if you want to touch base on the water tower. So.
Yeah, I'm going to try to. I think I need about 5 or 10 minutes, and I'll either get real obnoxious and stand on a chair, or I'll try to quietly let somebody
know. Does the water tower need repainting anytime soon?
I think it was done not too many years ago.
Okay.
I'll let Emily and Al get the materials there out of the projector.
Thank you, ladies.
Yeah,
thank
you guys,
you.
Great job. Great job. Very good job.
Something about the water tower, though, and that's been something that's coming up with the agenda item number 9. Is using that kind of spell out Alloway on there somehow. So when the class presented Chris and I thought, you know, because this whole time I was thinking, how the heck can you do that? Because you don't have the bubble or the traditional water tower like a lot of other. Well, that design is you know, like a little loud for. And I don't mean that in an obnoxious way or anything like that, but just sticking with the more traditional theme, I thought the concept of how they approach that, what Dan will show you, I thought that was very creative.
Well, do we have an identity program? I know that new logo was developed in the last 2 years, correct?
I want to say the logo we did in about 2012, 2013.
Yeah, so, and is that the extent of the to which we have an identity?
Yes, that's pretty much it.
But there's a lot of thought that went behind that and a lot of Economic Development Committee meetings where they brainstormed on what they thought the village should be and what the logo should look like, and there was talk of branding and different things, and that all that thought process went into designing that logo.
Correct. So we shouldn't sway from that original intent.
No, I think that we've received several comments that it's very unique, and
it's just too new to be changing out of anyway. I think. I mean, we just got it.
Right.
And a lot of thought went into it, and we had. I don't remember the company's name.
Bernard Richards?
Do that. And when they presented it with all the ideas behind it, it was really hope we have that somewhere. It was really rich in thought.
So,
Go ahead, Wes.
It makes sense to be consistent.
Oh, yeah.
With what's been done in the past 3 years, especially. If this was an action item.
Yeah.
Did need that?
No, more or less just direction. I think would be fine. I think you guys provided that.
Okay.
So we don't have to make a recommendation to Village Board at this point.
We kind of gave our thoughts. I mean, if everybody's good at those points that we made, it, I guess.
I put it as an action item in case you guys want to recommend a specific group or specific design.
Well, I guess I didn't ask that. Does anybody want to pick a specific design? Or is it a mix? Do we want to pick one of the groups and then with our points?
I think it appeared to me that we each liked something from each one. I know I did, and I kind of heard, you know, the same comments. So I wouldn't be in a position to pick one. I think there's some value from each one. We may have a mix, you know, of all three.
I think we've given them a list of things we liked out of the three ideas. I mean, that's not unusual for even a single designer to come in and present two or three options and for the client to select the elements of each that they like and to narrow what the final solution would be. So.
Sounds good.
If I may just add one other element, within the ideas that have been thrown out for utilizing the sales tax, again, it was kind of that branding aspect of the entrance signs utilizing the on-off ramps of 172. Granted, we still would need to obtain permission from the state in order to do so, but taking the design that ultimately could be a favor in supermarket in those areas, I think would really look attractive. And that's
considering the number of times people knock signs down at that intersection.
You want to make a limestone ground.
It's difficult to knock this down where I would envision putting it. But that's one of those items that the DOT has to look at. What if someone runs into it?
Okay. Well, I guess we can move on then. We won't take any action on the item, but all good stuff. Moving on to item number 7, action regarding amendment of sign code section 11.28 of zoning ordinance. I think so. I don't. Yeah. Okay.
This is something that we've been discussing the past few months, taking a look at how can we allow some flexibilities within the sign code for multi-tenant signs. And then much like give the mouse cookie, give a planner a sign code, can run away with it. So. There's some of the suggestions and comparisons that we looked at last time as far as the multi-tenant signs. And then I kind of went through and gave approximately, you know, what kind of developments you'd be looking at for each sign. And then as well as the electronic message center we discussed last time. And it looks like a lot of communities go anywhere from 40% to, or 30% to 50% of the total monument sign can be made up of electronic message center. As part of, so then I took that information and kind of went into the actual draft format. And Roger emailed me a few suggestions this afternoon, having got all the way through them. So it's likely tonight would just be another discussion, and then we bring it back at the March meeting.
The core of this was really to address the multi-tenant signs, right?
That's what sparked it, yeah.
Okay. So why don't we look at that section first? That's you've got a table there that really summarizes.
Yes, and actually looking through a lot of other communities' ordinances, almost every single community uses a table. I think we're the only ones that came across that don't use a table, and it's obviously looking at it, it's so much more user-friendly.
Table's fine. Yeah. It's good to have. So you basically just, the largest sign that we could have then, 3-plus tenants and building of over 100,000 square feet would be just double the required, double the square footage that we have currently.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think
that was kind of based on our feedback from the last.
Right.
You know, as I drive through town, I see signs that I think are way too big. You know, I mean, not Alloway necessarily. There's one as you go across the river, and it's the shopping center that has Best Buy and you know, the PetSmart, and there's a huge sign. It's just way bigger than.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that having less of a size can kill a deal like that in a major retail environment, and it's the reality of it.
Yeah. And I'm sure Best Buy has some say on how big that sign was.
Absolutely. Right. It's a huge deal.
I think last time we talked about the old Eves property and what size sign they have. I did some research into that, and that's about 50-foot square foot sign per side. It's 12 feet high, I believe. So that just kind of gives you a frame of reference there.
Whose was that, Trevor?
The Eves building. Riverside
Drive. Yes.
So I also incorporated some suggestions that were referenced in the corridor study, such as having a base, 2-foot base, that's pretty standard because of the snow. You don't want to go any lower than that. So having a 2-foot base that kind of matches the architectural elements of the principal building. And then also the address was mentioned the last meeting as well. One of Roger's comments are shown on the screen in green, and it just talks about it kind of clearly, more clearly illustrates the point, I think, by with clear vision requirements.
And that vision triangle requirements in the zoning ordinance.
Yeah.
So that refers back, and that's fine. It's circular reference.
I don't know if it's in zoning. It's somewhere where whenever they have to get driveway permits or things like that. So.
Do I move on then to that? Go down to the.
Well, as far as your table is concerned,
sure.
My feeling was that the heights were
a little high,
and okay. For the 1-2 tenants at 8 feet, I'd go to 6 feet. The 2 10-foot signs, I'd max out at 8, and then the 12-foot signs, I'd max out at 10 feet high.
So take that everything 2 feet.
Yeah.
Does that account for then the base?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you have a 2-foot base with a 6-foot sign, that gives them a 4-foot by 8-foot area for the sign. It's a little more horizontal in character. So for a two-tenant, a small, let's see, you've got one to two tenants, but you don't have a floor area. So the presumption is that that's still under 25,000 square feet. It's a small building. So.
So am I understanding correctly that it's actually a 10-foot height with a 2-foot base? If it's at 8 feet?
No, 8 feet would
total. All
8 feet total would include the base.
So the sign area would be a maximum of 6 feet high.
Sure.
So actually how it reads is the tallest point or the highest point of the sign is measured from.
But currently I'm worried about the one and two tenants at only 6 feet. That might be too low, depending on where they are. I don't want to go to 12 feet. I get that because one of the biggest complaints you get is the height of the signs. People don't want them high. But I'm not sure. Is 6 feet going to be too low?
When you're seated in a normal sedan, your eyes are about 4.5 feet off the ground.
Mm-hmm. So. The 6 feet is on top of a 2-foot base, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
So it would be 6 feet. So 4 feet.
So it's
four feet
of
sign.
Yeah, okay. I saw. I misunderstood that. Okay.
That's just my personal feeling about the science. So.
And I don't think bringing it down 2 feet is totally out of line. It's just kind of.
And owners can always ask for a variance if they have some special circumstance where they would need their sign to be.
Yeah, sure.
If they can.
Currently, they are not allowed.
Right.
No sign variances.
No sign variances. No.
I thought there was something, that was for a planned development district or something?
Right.
Okay.
Right, I wasn't here when the board changed it, but from my understanding, the board originally adopted the sign ordinance. They were receiving a lot of variance requests, so to kind of combat that, they said no variances, no PDDs, nothing like that. So
it was much quieter. I'm
fine.
No, after that point
in
time.
I'm sure.
So then we'd be adding back in the possibility for a PDD?
Right, and only for the scenario if it was for a larger development. To kind of take away from people wanting to go through a PDD just to get a sign variance, pretty much.
If you don't allow variances, how do you assess the health of your ordinance?
That's another point, too. I mean,
right.
That is a good point.
Right. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's difficult to illustrate the need for expanding the problem right now, because I'm getting a lot of requests from businesses, but I can't have them go through the variance request. No. That's an excellent point.
Yes, it is.
I don't know that variances really should be the thing you look at to determine whether your ordinance is healthy or not. Those usually should be just special conditions based on site constraints. And there's enough information out there on signs and sizes of signs. And there are millions of zones. Sign codes all over the country. I don't think we need to look for variances to tell us whether our code is good or bad. I think we can find that with appropriate professional advice.
Sometimes it feels like decision making happens in a vacuum when there's not public input in the form of a formal appeal.
Well, this is being reviewed by us and the Economic Development Committee and the Village Board, and we have Trevor and the staff looking at it. So I think there's lots of...
I just don't know the number of the people on these commissions that have a business on Riverside or on Webster that are looking for signs. That's where the input comes in. Have you talked to, or do you have anything recorded from any business owners as far as specific concerns?
Mainly the size requirement.
Size and height, or size and panels, or size?
Mainly size. And where I was messing with the height, really the reason behind that was just you didn't want to get too wide, especially right. because we have 8-foot setbacks. So then you start really pushing them far back.
I think there is, we do know of specific problems with that, and that is the multi-tenant signs, not having enough space, that people did try to change and get variances for. So I know that's been a concern in the past.
Do we feel like we're addressing the multi-tenant issue with the table?
I think it helps.
I think it helps. I mean, it makes it better.
Yeah.
Or easier, I should say. Maybe not better, but easier.
Right. And when you're looking at really who it's affecting, 50 plus, we have three plus tenants in 50 to 100 square feet. 1,000 square feet, you have Bell and Health Mall. You have the Willowbrook Building, Riverside Drive, and then you have the Bell Administration Office. I mean, so really it's not a whole lot of areas in the village currently.
And then we let the businesses develop their own plan for panel size within the sign, correct? We don't have a restriction or a requirement for the size of the actual panel for the tenant?
Right, kind of. Some sign codes have the principal business. Right. They allow for larger square footage.
Right.
That's always an option.
That's kind of an anchor retail type development.
Anchor, that's
that, what yeah. So that makes sense. Just okay. So nothing on the panels. That's good. Just let the market decide that.
Right. That's what I figured.
Yeah. By lowering the signs, we basically on this, we're actually cutting down the distance that they have to set the sign back from the curb.
Right.
And yeah, in case it falls in. That's true.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, with Roger's recommendations, you know, for 6, 8, 8, 10, 10 instead of 10 and 12. And just so if there are three tenants, and they have to decide which tenant, if they all have the same sign size, or if one of them wants a bigger one, it's up to them to. We're not going to dictate which of the three tenants has the largest letters, right?
Right.
It's up to them to come with a plan, to put a plan together for their sign.
If one of our concerns was the 6 feet and the 1 to 2 tenants. Just for the sake of argument, could we go 8-8-8-10-10 instead of going 6-8-8? Or is that a sticking point for anybody?
It's okay with me.
So we talked about that was maybe a problem. That we
yeah, and I'm not sure it is a problem, but potential.
You know, the only issue I see there is that if we develop a kind of a dense walking scale commercial area, no one... people putting up 8-foot monument signs, right?
Right.
And the other thing is the fastest speed limit we have in the village is 35 miles an hour. A lot of the size requirements are for people going 45 to 70 miles an hour. We don't have that situation here. Someone's going too fast to read the sign, that's their problem.
So. Sure, sure.
One thing I remember reading in here, Chairman, I don't see it now, but is the LED signs changing every 10 seconds?
Yeah, it's in
here. Yes.
Oh, that's in here.
As opposed to every quarter hour or whatever.
Yeah, and I just remember many, many discussions, long discussions on how often we should allow that because they don't want it to look like it's blinking and they don't want it, so.
Right.
Now, the couple we have here, I don't really see them as intrusive. I don't. We have the dental one, right? Schrader's and Webster Avenue Market. Those are the only three LEDs.
EP.
Okay.
The only problem is that we allow them in this code to be on churches and schools. And that means that a church or a school that's in a residential neighborhood could put a message board sign up right across from residences or where the residences are right next to the school. So I think we need to be a little more restrictive there for the message boards. But
was that, did you change that? Or was it always that way and now he's pointing out something else?
No, it was always that way. And actually, one of Roger's comments, he kind of addresses his point and he, I think, sends this.
I just gave a general that we should reconsider.
Isn't allowed when abutting a residential property or something like that.
That could be annoying.
Is that in the zoning ordinance, though?
Yeah, it's in the sign code, which is in the zoning ordinance.
It's in the sign code that, okay.
I don't know if I just want to let the UWGB group, it looks like they're finishing.
They have a tower built.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Quick recess from the signs.
This was the second team's interpretation, and then they worked up a model. We teamed. I helped build the model because they were short a person. But if you want to pass that back and forth, Wes.
That's cool.
That is cool.
That's neat.
And it kind of takes your logo and extrapolates it into a mural, is the thinking there. And you all are well aware that this is near Heritage Hill and quite visible from Webster, and the other end of it is you only see about a third of the water tower. The other two-thirds is off Webster or covered in the woods.
That's neat because that's, you know, the logo represents all the land, sea, sky.
That's fantastic. That's
cool. We'd have to make a little walking trail around the water
tower.
Destination. Cool.
Randy's going to like that.
One, I can leave it here for a while, otherwise we'll take it back to the studio because I'm sure they'd like to work on it and show up at the building.
Yeah, sure.
But it can stay here and I can get it on a different day if you guys want it for some reason.
I got it.
Well, maybe for Parks Committee morning.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd love to see it. Can I take a picture of it?
I got to take a couple pictures of it because the artist, the designer, is going to want to know what I did. She had to leave it for me and I had to get the stuff on. We will leave it, and I can coordinate with you guys to pick it up.
Put that in the water instead.
Oh, jeez.
I thought that was just a very creative idea.
Absolutely, yeah. Those are tough water towers to do anything with. Mm-hmm. I guess we could probably get back to the to the signs.
Thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you for sticking around and putting that together for us. That's cool.
We'll hopefully see some of you at the board meeting. Okay.
Back to the number of seconds that we can.
Okay, so that I wasn't even going to touch. But going up and down our corridor, looking at the signs that we do have, they currently go at any which rate. And so it appears to me, in talking with our code enforcement officer, that 15 minutes on the quarter hour is kind of time-consuming or difficult to enforce. And no one really has said anything.
And they're not doing it?
No.
Oh.
They're going every second or every 3 seconds or something like that. Whereas I figured every 10 seconds takes about 7 seconds to drive before you can, when you can read a sign, until you pass that sign. Yes. 10 seconds, it's not as flashy.
That seems like the whole point of a changeable message sign,
is
that you can read all of the messages before you get past it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, there's
no
point. It should be a fixed message sign, and you can just go out there and change it tomorrow, because if you've got a vehicle's got like 7 to 10 seconds before they pass, if there's information and you want them to know all of the information, they're only going to know a small piece of it. So say if you have a message that goes more than one cycle, they're only going to see part of the message. That kind of, to me, defeats the purpose of the sign, although I definitely recognize the fact that that could be irritating to neighbors, and we want to be careful about that. So I think there needs to be some compromise where maybe in a business district we can allow flashing more often, and then in something that's more of a residential district, we don't allow that.
No flashing ever.
No
flashing. Not that kind of flashing.
It's scrolling.
Scrolling, yeah.
Yeah, scrolling.
Changing.
Scrolling, yeah, not flashing. But I still did see no flashing in there, didn't I?
I think so, yeah. So maybe that's something that we can take in combination with Roger's words and what's in there and kind of tweak it. And
it's interesting to hear that you're not adhering to that anyway. I mean, I never really watched to see. But
to be honest,
yeah.
Right. And to be honest, I knew we had a restrictive rule in there, but I didn't pay attention until I read the ordinance, and then I felt like we got some VP, and kind of, you know, you're thinking about it, and then we went down the corridor, and everyone's doing it, and it's kind of one of those things that, you know, like Brad said, you kind of get used to it, and no one's really going to say anything about it. But I can understand if further down the line, if everyone on that strip gets 32 square foot LED message centers, then that becomes a problem.
That's
well, but they can only have so much percentage of their sign to be changeable
right.
Anyway.
So then that's where that maybe 33 to 50% rule comes in.
I think that's wise.
Also, what Roger said, maybe, you know, when it butts a residential property, either totally you can't have it, or it just can't flash.
Scroll.
Okay. So in the essence of creating an enforceable ordinance, we're going to change that to 10 seconds. Is that the recommendation?
Well, I feel like it might even need to be I think we should allow less than that in certain districts. I think 3 seconds.
Maybe a maximum of 10?
I think
discretion,
but maybe 3. If in the appropriate district where it wouldn't be a nuisance, I don't see a problem with allowing BP to flash as often as they are, to scroll their message as often as they are. But I think we do need to be restrictive about which districts we allow that in.
How would you tie that back? How would you recommend tying that back? Would you name the districts within this ordinance with different?
Yeah, probably something like commercial, how would business use light industrial, probably allowing for 3 seconds, as long as they're not directly abutting a residential property or something.
Yeah.
Or if their sign is not, if they are abutting residential, but their building sits between them, their sign, and the residential district, where that would block the light. You know,
right.
I don't know how many areas of the village that would fall under. Yeah.
Okay. We can toy around with the words and bring it back.
Say do that. And then for the table, are we I don't feel strongly between 8 feet or 6 feet in that first one. I just heard feedback that maybe 6 feet was a problem. But if we don't,
I don't know if it would be a problem.
So if we go 6, 8, 8, 10, 10,
that's not an issue with anybody.
Good.
That's fine. Do we want to list a so 1 to 2 tenants could theoretically be in an unlimited area building? Because you have no area limitation there.
Oh, okay.
But I wouldn't use less than what the next one is, 25,000.
Well, I wanted to tie it in with, you have to have 3 tenants and building of larger than 25,000.
Okay.
That way, if you had something like the diocese or the property that Jim referenced earlier gets developed, mm-hmm. you're still limited to that small sign if you have like a big box, which I don't foresee us having, but you never know.
But you could have one, you know, for instance, the Bell Inn property is occupied, or that mm-hmm. old shopping center has mm-hmm. got one tenant in it now. And
but there's yeah, so that's tricky because there's space for more tenants. Are they occupying the entire thing, or do they have some vacant area?
They have some vacant area. Currently, St. Vincent's, so that's another business, occupies part of the building. But
so would they be considered a 2-tenant building because there's 2 tenants currently there, or would they be considered a 3-plus tenant because there's space for a 3rd tenant?
It would be 2-tenant is how I was understanding it. And that's something that I kind of want to look into further is how to restrict that, because especially if you have a building that was built for multi-tenants mm-hmm. and then it comes down that. That's something that I tried touching a little bit in the non-conforming section, but I don't think it's quite there yet.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's a big parcel with a large setback. So theoretically that, you know, they could have a 12-foot high sign. If there were 3 tenants in it, but if there's only 1, that might be an unreasonable restriction.
Losing it back down, you're saying?
Yeah, they might. Just because of the land area and the position, it might be appropriate to have a larger sign.
Okay.
It's hard to say. But we only have that 1, and we just don't have very many cases like that.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of hard to plan for. You currently don't have anything.
PDD. Okay, if anything happens to that property in the future.
Right. And you hope it goes through that process. So I'll kind of I'll tweak this. Here's some comments here. I'll tweak it. I'll email it back before the next meeting.
Was there anything else besides the height and then the seconds? I don't think there was. I don't think I heard anything else. Somebody else did.
The one thing I would appreciate getting everybody's response to under signs allowed under private property without permits. I have a concern for people erecting signs on their property that or putting them in their windows, and might be abusive to neighboring residents. And I would like to see us restrict any kind of non-permitted sign, like election signs or personal message signs or anything, such that they are only on the side of the house that faces a public street and may not be on the back side of a house or a back fence or things like that. So.
When it comes to non-commercial signs, heard you sat through the teleconference mm-hmm. with Mark Roberts and
yeah.
myself. The Supreme Court decision this past summer took all our authority away from restricting any non-commercial signs. So ultimately, a person can have as many election signs and put them wherever they want. You can have this was an example that was used, a giant middle finger pointed right towards your neighbor, and we couldn't do anything about it.
Okay. It's that freedom. It's the Second Amendment.
Right.
So they were the freedom of speech.
Right. They kind of, the Supreme Court said that was freedom of speech type of thing. Whereas when you get into businesses, then past court cases have kind of allowed to restrict that freedom of speech a little bit.
And that, so that's any kind of sign, or is it?
Any kind of non-commercial sign.
So they can paint a sign on the side of their building, of their house, of any size?
As long as it's not advertising anything. Anything for sale, for commercial use, that type of thing.
I would think if there's a neighborhood association restrictions, they'd have to meet that as far as colors or patterns or whatever for
signage. I don't know. So.
Wasn't there an example given of the house in Ledgeview that had huge poster board signs all over it? Or am I thinking of another meeting?
Right.
Yeah.
They kind of, I think, big tieback signs.
Yeah.
It's that sign in their house. And I think they use that as, well, that's a commercial sign. Sheriff has a tieback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're able to get around it that way. It's interesting, actually. A lot of municipalities and lawyers are really starting to go through this process and try and figure out what parts of their ordinances are legal and what parts are. I think it'll take a few court cases before we really figure that out.
Okay. This is another item that we were asked to take action on. I don't know that action is necessary because it's going to come back.
Right.
So I think we can just move on if there's not any other.
I just want to touch base on one more. The park signs that we referenced in here, again, collaborative effort. Chris realized that was going through the sign code and asked that we kind of touch base on that. Currently, they can have park signs, banners along the wall diagonally, as long as they get board approval for each individual one, which when you're trying to get sponsorships and trying to work out a deal, it kind of makes it very cumbersome. So he was asking for some flexibility in that. So I think how I worded it was the board approves the general location of where the sign, of where the parks can hang the signs, and then they can ultimately have
as many signs as they can right. secure.
And I think Roger had a few comments on that as well that I can share with you guys.
Yeah, it'd probably be good for the Parks Department to develop a guidelines policy that they can give out to.
Yeah, absolutely.
That the board approves, and then everybody knows what the parameters
are. Yeah, signs are. Otherwise, I don't know if the village board wants to be in the business of approving sponsorship signs for T-ball games.
Be like the variances we reinstated.
Or that way they're not going to be second-guessing what Parks is allowing.
Right.
You know, as long as the guidelines are already there.
So, I'll tweak these things and we can talk about it again next week.
Sounds good. Okay, moving on to item number 8, action regarding 2015 Plan Commission Annual Report. And that was emailed to us. I saw that unless it was an old email, but I think I saw the latest one.
Right. Essentially the same one as last month, just two small additions. The village official map that we talked about, and then the new eye program that Brad referenced. Brad, I don't know if you want to talk about new eye at all.
They're still in the development phase of trying to figure out exactly what is all going to be. Well, they know what's going to be offered is 2-minute segments to a community and some 30-second YouTube-type videos that can be produced. We met today as a staff to try to talk about a little bit what is it we would like to maybe some of the videos be. Sign ordinance or changes in sign would be a good one to describe what you know, what is acceptable, what's not acceptable, and why. My guess is they're probably a couple months away yet from truly launching this. So in the next, hopefully, month, we'll be able to figure out exactly what the videos are that we're going to produce. We're going to try to tie into economic development, promotion of the village and various methods, and do some of the what to and what not to do sort of thing. So it's going to be a good thing. It's just a matter of getting there.
Mm-hmm.
We still don't know exactly what type of equipment we may need here at the village. If we're going to stream our meetings, obviously we need some sort of a camera mechanism. We may have to change our sound system so it picks it up. Overhead, I mean, who knows what it's all going to entail. So still working out all those details.
Were there any comments about the Planning Commission report? I read through it and I thought it looked good. If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the draft and move forward.
I'll make that motion.
All right.
Second.
Okay. Finally, we get to take action. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, good job, Trevor. Got it done. Okay. Moving on to item number 9, discussion of recommendations for use of refund for excess Lambeau Field sales tax. This is more or less to add things to the list, correct?
It is, and what I thought I would do is give you an update from what some of the other communities are going to be doing.
Okay.
Start off with...
they've made decisions already that this is what they're going to do?
Some of them have.
Good for them.
Village of Colbert is going to use it to do complete the entire amount for debt relief. City of Pier right now has a survey monkey out asking the three options. And then a combination of utilizing the three options and then allowing individuals to indicate other areas. That is going on until March 6th. Ashwaubenon is using primarily to reduce borrowing on a remediation project. And they are also going to be looking at purchasing a piece of equipment that was cut in the budget. Town of Lawrence is using it for debt reduction, but they haven't done anything official yet. So those are just some of the community aspects right now.
So Lawrence probably still has a note on the buildings they just built in the past couple of years.
Right. So what the board has been, or what we've been doing is adding it to the second meeting of the month, just to continue open that dialogue. Eventually we're going to take those, like we were talking about before, and add it to like a matrix and figure out what is the economic benefits, if it's used for that purpose, and of course looking at the debt reduction as well.
So
all those things are going to be thrown together.
Hobart's doing property tax relief or debt reduction? Sorry.
Theirs was debt relief.
Okay.
How are they buying it? I don't remember who it was, but buying a piece of equipment, that doesn't fall under the criteria, does it?
Well, you can look at, instead of borrowing for it.
Debt reduction.
You borrow and one day and pay it off.
Yeah. The next day.
So again, we're in no rush to do this, so we want to make sure that we are evaluating anything and everything that could be thrown at us. So
Yeah. Has there been a decision made on what's in the three categories we're going to pursue?
Not yet, no. So what we'll take is that list that has been developed and then put the items into those categories where they may fall.
Sure.
In the decision,
it's quite a bit of work to do on this yet. And again, there's no reason to rush because there's not a sunset clause.
Have you come up with any strategies for assessing what would constitute economic development and the expense of the funds? Or how to determine what would where we'd get the biggest bang for our buck?
Right, that's some of the measures that we need to take. If you're using it, say, for an incentive for a development, simple math, if you threw out $200,000 to a development, and that development is $1 million in probably 5 years or less than 5 years, you're gaining back that $200,000, and then it's going to continue to grow from that point on. So those are some of the metrics that we'll be looking at.
Are we earning interest on it while it's sitting there?
Yes.
0.02%.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
So if you have anything, again, I'm just throwing it out, please let me know.
One thing I mentioned last time or time before was repainting the security wall around the Green Bay.
The wall?
The wall. I mean, somebody, I saw the murals were on there, but you can't put enough murals on there to cover up all the bad, and that's an entrance to Alloway. I mean, you get off 172 and you see a Welcome to Alloway sign based on one of our new motifs, and then you see this, yeah. So I don't know who pays for that. I mean, I'm sure it's a joint, the county has to be involved.
Well, it's a state facility.
State facility. It seems like that ought to be a not too costly thing to do, and it might help our, how we look kind of thing. I don't think about it that much, but my wife comments every time we drive by there. Have you guys fixed that yet? No, we haven't. Not my job to
She's
fix it. She's
got to talk to the governor.
Got to talk. tell her she has to talk to the governor. Okay. In the three categories, are they mutually exclusive? In other words, do you have to? You can pick one from one and one from the other. You don't have to say if it's debt reduction. It doesn't have to all be debt reduction.
Correct.
So you could say 500,000. Because there's I'm sure the finance people are going to do the math to see how much you save going forward year after year, and what difference does it make whether you put $500 or $700 and $4,000 in or whatever.
Exactly.
So, okay. Thanks.
When are we going to put these, I guess you talk about the evaluation criteria. When is that actually going to happen? Do you have a pulse on that?
I guess what I was looking at, we will have a new president coming on in April.
Yeah.
That certainly would maybe around that time would be a good time to.
Is it this April or April 17th?
Yes, oh. This April. So, and depending on how things shake up, it could be a new member to the board, or it could be one of our current trustees that slides into that role, and then you're filling a position. So
okay, I don't have anything else to add to the list of everything you could possibly do with the money. So unless anybody else does, okay. Looks like we can move on then. Item number 10, next meeting date and agenda items. I believe you threw out Monday, March 7th. That's the change you want to make. Does anybody have any conflict or issue there? Okay.
Just for clarification, that would be, do you want that just for the Mayflower development, or do you want to have that in March meeting?
I like the idea of having one meeting in March, unless we have some business that we need to have a second meeting. The sign code, I think, is something that we should probably get done and tackle. I don't have an issue with having two meetings, but if there's got to be agenda items for it.
Right.
So we're going to move on with the, I don't think the UWGB community stuff's coming back to us, right? That's going to the board. The amending the sign code, that's really the only thing that's being forwarded to that next meeting.
Okay.
Mayflower is probably going to take about an hour, I would assume, at least, depending. So maybe we could put the sign stuff on there again and see where that conversation takes us. And because then after that, it'd be like March 21st. I was going to say 28th. Maybe it was the 21st then.
Yeah, 21st. No, you're right. 28th.
And that was right after Easter, so I was going to ask if that was going to be a problem too.
I don't know. But I don't travel by Monday night usually. So I guess we can make a decision on March 7th if we want to.
Okay.
Is that a public hearing? March 7th? Not a public hearing.
It would be a public hearing if it went on to the board.
Yeah. Will we be incorporating all the discussions we've had in the past? This is maybe not, we don't need to discuss it necessarily, but all the requests for taking the utility easements and making paths, for, you know, is that part of this discussion? I mean, Mayflower didn't recommend that. It wasn't their idea. It kind of got tacked on.
Our recommendation was that it would proceed to them with you providing them that direction that we provided you. Because that was so kind of a long recommendation.
Yeah, well,
right.
Yeah.
The idea is to preserve a route through this.
But see, the problem is that it's not a route. Like, to preserve a route would have to mean that it was intended at one point to be a route, which, as a drainage easement, it never was intended as a route, per se.
So let's say
but it is a drainage easement, correct?
Right. There's a drainage easement, but drainage and people traveling through, I just feel like for the property owners that live there, they'd see a vast difference between those two uses, and it might be problematic. That's my only concern is, for us to recommend a change to the use of that easement, I think is a big deal to the people that live there.
I think we're more along the lines of evaluating whether
right.
That
I think that's what we recommended was evaluating, access for that cul-de-sac.
Right.
Yeah, we're trying to correct an error of the past by doing this.
Yeah, so. I understand that, but I still think we need to preserve the rights of the property.
That's true. I mean, the current property owners may not want it, but property owners change every few years.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think holding out that option to provide connectivity to a park, or, right now that cul-de-sac area, they have no access to a park mm-hmm. without going all the way up to Webster and coming all the way back down again. So
I guess we'll see what they come back with. You don't have to tell us tonight.
Yeah.
You probably already know, right?
No, I haven't seen any plans yet.
Okay, good. So Monday, March 7th, everybody's good with that?
Yeah.
Okay. That being said, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? We are adjourned.